We're going to be in the book of Romans today. And so if you have a Bible, do turn to Romans. If you want to borrow one of our Grace Church Bibles today, just wave your hand in the air and our welcome team have a stack and they can bring a Bible to you. One over there, one over there, one in the middle. Fantastic. Keep your hand in the air until you get the Bible. Turn to the book of Romans. And we're in the final part of our mini-series today, which we're calling One Another, because we're looking at some of the verses in the New Testament that include the phrase one another. And when you look at all those verses in the Bible, you can actually kind of group them into three categories, because some of them talk about how we should love one another. Another whole category talk about how we should be united with one another. And then there's this third category, which you could put under the heading humility. Now, that doesn't mean that it means that we should humble one another, but it means in humility that we should serve one another. And there's a whole kind of group of verses, but we'll focus on Romans 12, which is a really good example. I'll read it in just a moment. Humility is really all about how you think about yourself, what your perception is of yourself. In fact, if I was to ask you the question, how do you think about yourself? When you think about your own character, what instantly comes to mind? In our society, there is a huge culture, isn't there, of self-promotion, of I must push myself forward. But at the same time, there is a huge amount of insecurity and feeling small about oneself. So this strange mix, you get in the one sense this I can do it, I can believe. And you see that a bit in The Apprentice. I don't know if you're familiar with the Apprentice. You know what I mean by that? A number of young, ambitious contestants. They all compete, don't they, to convince Lord Sugar that they are the one that he should invest his money in. And here are some quotes from some of the people, I think this year, who entered The Apprentice. This is what they think about themselves. One person said this: I think outside the box. If I was an apple pie, the apples inside me would be oranges. Profound. Another one said this: I have the energy of a Duracell bunny, sex appeal of Jessica Rabbit, and a brain like Einstein. Do you think? I don't know which one that was. Another one said this: there are two types of people in the world, winners and, I don't know how to say the word, I can't say it. Fourth one: don't tell me the sky's the limit when there are footprints on the moon. And other such wisdom that they shared. So you get that kind of self-promotion, tell myself I can do anything, but at the same time, the world is rife with insecurity, issues with self-image all over the place. One study says that 90% of British teenage girls are unhappy with their own image. Anxiety and depression are steadily on the increase. And a lot of that is reported about women, but actually the suicide rate in the UK is going up, and 3/4 of all suicides are men. People in our society just have no idea how to think about themselves. What should we think about me? Self-promotion and the belief that I can do anything I put my mind to, but also that insecurity and that belief, I can't do anything. Maybe individuals can even have both those things, sort of competing in their own kind of mindset. So we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about all this stuff. How does the Bible say we should think about ourselves? So let's have a look at Romans 12. I'm just going to read some verses from, I'll start at verse 3 in Romans 12. It says this: for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And so it goes on, but we'll leave it there. The Bible says that when you think about yourself, you should think about yourself with humility. And so the question becomes not just how do you think about yourself, but how do we think of ourselves with humility? What does that look like? What does that look like for me as an individual and us as a church family together? What does that look like for us as a church? How do we build church with humility? Well, let me give you just three ways. You see, firstly, it means this. Firstly, it means that knowing in Christ, we are one body together. Verse 5 of this passage I just read says, so in Christ, we though many form one body. And the first thing to get a hold of is how important it is that we are in Christ. Love this. There we go. How important it is to know that we are in Christ. For every one of us as Christians, our true identity is found from being in Christ. That's who and what a Christian is. Someone who is in Christ. So our identity is not found in what we do. It's found in who we are. It's not found in our achievements. Like those contestants on The Apprentice, it's all about what they could do. But that's not our identity. That's not where it's based. We're not defined by our jobs, or you're not defined by your CV, or by your family status, or by your financial status. Your identity is in Jesus. So those quotes from The Apprentice, people boasting about what they could do, how they found their identity in their achievements. I'm a winner because I win. I'm great because I can do anything. As Christians, our identity is always found in Christ. And being in Christ means that we identify with him. It means that we become like him. And at the very heart of Jesus' character, that character that we are finding our identity in is humility. And Philippians chapter 2, it talks about the humility of Jesus. How even though he is God, the uncreated Son of God, he didn't consider equality with God as something to grasp hold of, but in humility he valued others above himself and he made himself nothing for your sake, for my sake. The one who had every right to be acknowledged as Lord of all was willing to suffer as a servant for your sake. And that's Jesus. That's the Jesus who we worship and call Lord. And in the context of church family, we all identify with that same Jesus. In that sense, it's a great leveler. In that respect, we are all the same, all equals. No Christian is better than any other Christian, as Eilis was saying so wonderfully in our worship. We are all the same. We are all in Christ. On our own, we are all wretched sinners. desperately in need of forgiveness. But in Jesus, we have all been made righteous. And that's the glory of the gospel. So there's no room for superiority in the church. Someone might achieve great things in the name of Jesus. It doesn't change who they are. It doesn't make them more in Christ than the person next to them. It says in verse 3, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. There's no varying levels of being a Christian. You are no more in Christ than you've been before or than anybody else around you. Don't think of yourself more lowly either. You are no less in Christ than anyone else. There is no room for inferiority in the church either. If you're a Christian, you're in Christ. You might not be feeling that significant. You might be feeling a bit insignificant. Nobody notices me. I'm just kind of a speck in the corner. It's just not true. It's not how it is. It's not how we should see ourselves. That is not humility, to say I'm less of a Christian than someone else. That's just focusing on yourself and finding your identity in what you do or what you perceive you don't do. Your identity is in Christ. So we're all in Christ, and that means we're all one body. Now, I talked about this a bit last week. The body is one of the favorite pictures that the New Testament uses to describe the church. So last week we were in Ephesians. This week we are in Romans, and it's saying much the same. In verse 4, it says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And this means in Jesus, we're all connected to him who is our head, and we are all connected to one another. And what connects us is our family tie in Christ. We are all in Christ. We all call God our Father. I don't know if you have any brothers or sisters that when you, they're just very different to you. And when you think about them, you think, how am I even related to you? I mean, we're just so different. I don't know, I've got a brother. And I mean, there's definite similarities, it has to be said. But in some ways, our character is very different. In fact, I look at my two boys, Sam and Jake, and again, there are similarities, but they're also chalk and cheese. Most people don't know they're brothers, actually, until they're told. And you might have a brother or sister like that as well. It's just, I'm not sure, have we got anything in common? It can be like that in the church. You think, wow, we are quite different, aren't we? We're from very different backgrounds. You might look at it from the outside and say, have we even got anything in common? But we do, because we all have the same Father. We are all from the same source. We are all in Christ. We are all of the same boat, the same body that is Jesus. And you might not feel connected to other people in the church. You might feel like they're on a different level to you, or where do I fit in? Is that above or below? Don't worry about that. We are connected. We are Jesus's body. And so that's the first way we in the church can think of ourselves with humility, is to put our focus on Jesus. And we need to know that that is our identity. That is what levels us. We are all equal. We are all in Christ. One body. So the second way that we can all think of ourselves with humility is by recognizing that the body is diverse. So while we need to recognize there is one body, we also need to know that we're different from one another, and that's okay. So my ear looks very different to my toes, and that's probably a good thing, I'm thinking. And it's a bit like that in the church. We might not have so much in common from an external perspective when you view it superficially from the outside. I just think that's a good thing, because I don't want us to all be like carbon copies of each other. God has made us all differently. We have different likes and dislikes on all manner of things, even Marmite. Let me do a quick Marmite survey while we're here. Hands up if you like Marmite. Hands up if you don't like Marmite. I reckon that's about a 60-40 split in favor of Marmite. People say I'm a little bit odd, but when when I was 12, and I remember it distinctly, I remember sitting down one day and said, I am going to decide right now to like everything. And I just took myself, I was a bit of a fussy eater up till that point, and I took myself in hand and I said, right, forget that. I am just going to say I like everything, even if I don't. And do you know what? Very soon after that, I just liked everything. And now I just find any food is nice. Strange. Anyway, it's by the by. We all like that. I'm not even sure that's healthy. I'm not saying you should do that. We all have different likes and dislikes. We're all different. But more importantly, this is what the scripture is really talking about. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. And we have different gifts. And that's good. Verses 6 to 8, they say this. We have different gifts. According to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If with accordance with the faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, give encouragement. If it's giving, then give. To lead, get on with it. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So the first thing to notice here, and it talks about this diversity, is that everyone is included. There's diversity, but everyone's gifted. No one's left out. There's no language in the Bible that says, well, if God has gifted you at all, or for those of you who are gifted, do this, but for the rest of you, it never says that. All are gifted in some, all are valuable. And so guess what? That includes you. That you're not excluded. And you might try a few things out and you might find out where your gifting lies. And I think it's good just to see what you enjoy. Good to see what goes down well, what people appreciate. And just look at your own character and your own likes and dislikes. And you get a view for what your gifting might be. And then try it and explore it. And there can be this kind of tendency when we talk about humility, can't there, to think that humility is just sitting back in the shadows, leaving it to somebody else. It's like, well, I will prefer them over me. I'll just take a back seat. I'm no good at anything anyway. I'll just be humble. Not humility. That's not what it means. In fact, that's the opposite of being humble. That's actually acknowledging. It is actually acknowledging our gifts. That is humility and acknowledging their source in God and giving glory to him. That's humility. Some of you will know who I mean by Andrew Wilson. He was one of the platform speakers at West Point last summer. And he is an exceptional Bible teacher. I mean, he's just a mega brain as well, which really helps. But he's just so good at clearly explaining really complex stuff and just teaching from the Bible. He's a very gifted preacher. And teacher. And now when people ask, when some people chat to him after a preach and they compliment him on his preaching. And now he replies, well, thank you. Preaching and teaching is my gift. And you can hear that and think, well, that sounds a bit arrogant, a bit proud, not too humble. And I'm sure he's been deliberately provocative because that's what he's like. But I think there's something in it which actually is a humility, because what he's saying is this. He's saying, I have an ability here that's been given to me by God. And I'm just grateful for an opportunity to use it. So he's pointing to the source. He's giving glory to God. And that is humility. It's humility to accept and know that you are gifted in an area in a particular way, and that you have a part to play in his diverse body because he has given you that gift. The alternatives are either that you just think you're amazing because you're amazing because you're amazing, and it's just, oh yeah, I'm just good. I'm just good at it. That's not humility, that's pride. But the other alternative is that you just deny that you are gifted at all, which might seem humble, but it's not what scripture says to do. That's actually false humility. Actually, we should recognize and rejoice in what God has done for us and give him the glory. You are gifted. You are valuable. God made you just as he wanted to make you. He selected just the right gifts for you. You don't need to try and be somebody else, somebody you are not. God only asks you to be you and excel in your gifting and nobody else's. So everybody can prophesy, but some people really have a gift of prophecy. And unsurprisingly, you may hear them bring prophetic words more often, and that's okay. You'd expect to hear from them more often. They're really gifted in that area. Some people in the church are so encouraging. We should all encourage one another. And yet some people just seem to operate that way, don't they? The real gift of encouragement. I find evangelistic gifting particularly intriguing because that's something that is so not me. I mean, I try and share my faith. I try and be a faithful witness for Jesus. But I see other people who just connect so effortlessly with strangers and strike up conversation about Jesus like they're talking about the weather. And I tell you, that's just not me. I find it hard. I think, how do they do that? They're gifted. Gifted evangelistically. The body of Christ is diverse. That diversity and unity work together to make us so effective as Jesus's body. And you can see how that works by considering the human body. You see, a body works because of its unity and diversity working together. Just look at your hand for a minute. So your hand has five of these sticky out bits. And they're all different. None is exactly the same as the other. They're all unique. They're slightly different lengths. But they all unite to one purpose. They're united in their service to the body as a whole. And they work best when they are working together. So your thumb is on this kind of really clever ball and socket joint thing. It's not as long as the others. A bit stubby. Particularly mine, but if it wasn't like that, it wouldn't work. Even your little finger, particularly good for earwax, I find. So they all have different strengths and weaknesses, but you put those fingers and thumbs together, and they work brilliantly. I was thinking this morning, just as I was mulling this over and holding a hot mug of tea, thinking every little finger is involved there, and it's working well together. That's diversity with unity, and it's so effective. The church is just the same. We are united as one body. We are about the same purpose, which is the glory of Jesus. And no one is more a part of the body than anyone else. It's all gifted differently, but those gifts all fit together like a body, like pieces of a puzzle. It all works beautifully as a whole. So, we think of ourselves with humility by knowing we are one body in Christ, by recognizing the diversity in the body, and then lastly, by using these gifts to serve others in the church. Verse 9 to 10 says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another. Here we get to the rule one another verses. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And so it goes on. Paul, who wrote this, he's talking about loving one another, honoring one another, being devoted to one another. See, we're all gifted. We're all necessary members of this body, but that is never for our own sake. It's always for the sake of others. The world's mantra at the end of the day is every man for himself. Or every woman for himself, herself. Everyone for themselves. Dog eat dog, isn't it? And if you've got a loud bark and a sharp bite, then you better use them for your own advancement because nobody else is going to do it for you. That's the society we live in. Yet the gospel is the polar opposite of that. The gospel says each man for everyone else, each woman for everyone else. That was Jesus's attitude. Born as a man, but not for himself, for everyone else. He sacrificed everything for the sake of others. He preferred us to himself. He devoted himself to saving us. even though we had done nothing to deserve it. So you are gifted. You are valuable. You have so much to offer, and you are called to use that, not for your own gain, but for the service of other people, whether they deserve it or not, whether they've merited that or not. Now, I don't think we should come up with a short list of areas where we think we're gifted and only serve in those areas. So you might think, yeah, I think I've got prophetic gifting, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to serve anybody in any other way because that's my gifting. That's what I'm going to do. I think that's quite a proud way to approach humility. And I don't think that's what God is looking for. We would just sort of sit back and say, well, I'll just wait for somebody to come and ask me to use my gifting that I've recognized until then, and I'm doing nothing. That's not right. A humble person, I think, would say, I have a sense where God has gifted me. I'm looking for a place to use that. I'm ready. I want to use that. That's great. But equally, I'll just serve in any way that blesses people. Happy to roll up my sleeves, get involved. That combination of serving that I see in Grace Church week in, week out. And it is so powerful. People willing to operate in their gifting, and people willing just to get stuck in and not overthink it either. It's a powerful combination. Every single Sunday in Grace Church, we have this army of people who make stuff happen. I mean, across the three sites that we have, I mean, it's just crazy. You have three set-up teams and set-down teams. We have three different kids groups in three different sites. That's nine different kids groups every week that have to be prepared and led. And it's just awesome. We have three different worship bands preparing and leading us in worship. And we have people out in the car parks and the welcome teams and people making tea and coffee and doing so much more. And then that's just Sunday mornings. Humility creates a serving culture throughout the life of the church. And it is born out of the relationships that we have with one another. So that we're just ready to serve one another because we are bearing one another in love, because we are devoted to one another, because we are honoring one another, is because we are in relationship with one another. And that is why over this month of January, I wanted to focus on the relationship that we have in church. And partly do that by focusing on our groups, which meet throughout the weeks. That is where relationships are formed. That is where we can serve one another all the more. It says in verse 5 that each member of the body belongs to the others. Do you see yourself in some way, in a godly way, of belonging to other people? So it's not about me, what can I get? It's about how can I fulfill my kind of obligation in Christ to other people as I serve people. So if you do nothing else in Grace Church, come on a Sunday morning and be part of a group. That is the kind of twin message. And so as a way for us all to respond in faith as we engage personally in church life, saying, yeah, I'm a valuable part of this body. What I'm asking everybody to do over these weeks is tick a box in the what's on sheet you were given when you came in. And you could even grab it right now if you want. If you pick it up now, have a look in the back. What you just see is we've put there boxes to tick. This is a way of responding and saying, yeah, I can see how I can connect. I can see that my part in this relationship network that is Grace Church. Now, obviously, ticking a box is not a significant activity in and of itself. That's kind of pointless. But your heart that's behind it, your faith that says, yeah, I see what this is about. Now that is significant. That is powerful. So you might say, you know, I'm going to carry on with my life group for this season. I'm going to get stuck in with my life group because I see again the value and the benefit of life groups. And for many of us, that will be what we want to do. It may be you're not in a life group and you think, I'd really like to be. So you're going to tick there. And then we're also rearranging other stuff that we do in church life into groups. And some of you might want to tick a box to say, I'd love to just explore being part of that group for this season, short-term groups. And if you want to carry on with your life group as well, then that's absolutely fine. Tick both boxes. If you're thinking, well, actually, one thing is enough at the moment, I'd love to do that short-term group, but I can't manage both, then that's fine. Don't do both. That's all right as well. So I want us to kind of get this, get what we're about and value it. So we'll have a moment. I mean, we've been doing this over a few weeks. You might have done it already. But we're going to collect these up at the end, just to warn you. So we've been answering this question in our lives in Grace Church. How do we look at ourselves with humility? And if you put it all together, I think what you get is we think of ourselves with humility by knowing that we are the body of Christ, that we are diverse and multifaceted. We're all gifted in different ways, but when we bring these gifts together, it becomes an awesome, glorifying thing that we should, I mean, it's just without equal anywhere in the world. In the world, there is huge self-promotion, and I mean, you see it on the Apprentice, but you see it all over the place, don't you? Self-promotion, but also anxiety and depression and insecurity. And the Bible calls us to humility. The world is all about individuals, and it's hard to pursue humility when you are just an island. Actually, it's community that we need, and it's in community that we learn humility. And so let's just embrace, let's enjoy, let's be in faith for our place, what we can bring to Grace Church. Okay, I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to take communion together as we finish. And so I'm just going to pray, and then I'll explain how we're going to do that. Stay seated, that's fine. But I'm just going to pray. And as I'm praying, just consider, again, the blessing of Christ in your life that has resulted in you being brought into church, connected with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And just make your own response to that. See yourself as part of Christ's body. What does that mean? What's God asking of you? How can you bring your gifting, your character, the wonderful thing that God has made you, bring that into this? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. Lord, your scripture says so much about this picture of a body. Lord, help us to not just know it kind of as a picture, but actually know it in our hearts. I pray, Father God, that you would speak it into us and just show us. Lord, we love you. Lord, we want to serve you. I pray, Lord, that as you are preparing a wonderful, glorious bride to one day be presented to you in this wonderful wedding scene at the end of the age, Lord, we right now are preparing your bride here. And we want it to be awesome. Use me, I pray. Use me. Help me to build friendships and relationships and connect in. Help me to see needs and then meet those needs. Would you be glorified amongst us? We pray. So, there's no better model of humility than Jesus. The uncreated Son of God, and yet he laid aside all of that. He went to the cross. For you and me. And we're going to finish by taking communion together. What I love about communion is that it puts our focus right back on Jesus, right back on the cross, where it should be, his sacrifice for us. But even as we focus on Jesus, we can't help but acknowledge one another. And taking communion is a thing we do together. And we recognize that we are all one body, even as we are focused on Jesus. So we're going to do that in just a moment. I think we've just got a few minutes. What we're going to do is this. We'll sing and just get our focus on him and worship. And then after that, I'd like just to serve one another even as we are taking communion. So we won't spend long time on this at all. But what I'd love us to do is, if you're happy to, you don't have to, obviously, you don't think you're optional, but But what I'd encourage you to do is to just sort of grab, I don't know, four or five people, get in a group, and then somebody go and get a handful of bread and the bits of wine as well. It's non-alcoholic wine. I reckon you can carry three without spilling it everywhere. So you might need a couple of people to go and get that. Bring it back to your group and just kind of share it. Just kind of bless one another. And then it'd be great if somebody's just happy to pray, just to thank God and just pray for the people in the group. We'll finish just by praying for one another. Is that okay? It's going to be kind of chaos. But it's good. Let's sing and then I'll pray. Okay. Let's stand together. Victory in the cross. Thank you that you died for each one of us, your body broken. We remember as we take this bread together, your blood shed. in payment for our sin. To remember as we take this wine. Lord, we want to thank you that you have forgiven us, that you have redeemed us, that you have brought us into your family, that you are alive. Having risen from the dead, you've given us your Spirit. What a wonderful, victorious life you have called us to in you. We delight in you. We thank you, O God, and we celebrate you as we take communion together. Amen. Amen.